I was very worried, even though I supported President Trump, there was something about his rhetoric in the campaign and when he first came into office that I thought, oh my God, please don't be like a Democrat. Please don't ignore the obvious threats overseas. Pretend they don't exist, and then leave obvious problems that could have been dealt with surgical strikes for the next president to deal with, and it turns into a huge problem that winds up being a war. I mean, that is the MO of the Democrat Party in my lifetime, is ignore the enemy, act like they don't exist, or try to make nice with them, and then the next guy has to come along and clean up the problem. And that's a real issue here. I gotta say, looking back on the last 4 years, I think I'm kind of impressed with Donald Trump not being lured into a major conflict overseas, because they sure as heck have tried. Don Bramer is my old friend in Washington. He is the chairman of the Bramer Group now in D.C., a big influential lobbying organization, and they do a lot of guidance with members of Congress. Seems like a pretty straight-up guy the years I've known you. Good morning to you, Don. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, John. And, you know, listening to you coming on, you know, I get those same ads from my time in the Scouts. And I do agree. I wish they would just go away. I don't know what's worse, my 3M earplugs from being in the military or whether I was abused as a Scout. But yeah. Every day somebody calls or texts. But, you know, talking about what's going on with the administration now and the possible transition, you know, you're right. You're wondering, like, do we really want to create mess or leave a mess that has to be cleaned up by another administration? And in a lot of cases, they've seen a mess that carries on from administration to administration to administration, as we've seen with, you know, the current Afghan and Iraqi crisis.
So what do you think of the president's directive here this late in his term, whether he is re-inaugurated on January 20th or whether he's out the door, to call back most of the troops that are in Afghanistan and in Iraq? I mean, that's in keeping with the promise he made when he was running, so it's not like he's, you know, this is a curveball for everybody, but what do you think of this?
Well, you made a valid point, and that's what I'm saying. You know, this is nothing new. He has been saying this from day one and even throughout the campaign. You know, he campaigned on a promise to bring the troops home. So you're right, it's nothing new. But what I do think is you have to look at the situation on the ground. And while I've not been on the ground in Afghanistan, I've been in Iraq several times. Mm-hmm. And I'll go as recent, you know, we've been in negotiations with the Taliban for well over a year now to find a resolution to this. And there's been certain accords and benchmarks that have been required to continue these negotiations. But even in those, the Taliban has not met their part of the deal. Mm-hmm. You know, as recently as in the 25th of October, we had ground attacks and bombings in 24 of Afghanistan's 34 provinces. Mm-hmm. On November 1st, we had a recent Taliban attack that they used a drone to knock out four troops. So if they're not doing their part to find peace, then we have to protect our interests and make sure that if we do and when we do leave that part of the world, that we leave it better than we found it and not create another situation to go back in history, as you brought up, where, you know, pulling the troops out of Saigon in 75 that ended up being a humiliation on the face of this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm very concerned about that. I mean, the Taliban, I don't know why we were operating under the assumption that we could trust them. I mean, I think their goal is to get rid of us, and then they run roughshod over everybody. I mean, it's just a different mindset. You know, the gentleman's handshake doesn't exist in that part of the world, even with business people. That's my observation personally.
100%, 100%.
I mean, I hate to say that. That's not a compliment, but I think it's
no. And you know, there's a lot of parallels between what's going on now with our government and the Taliban and what went on with the Soviet government and the Taliban. Right. They have a mindset that you know, you can outlast us, and that we will eventually get tired of spending our resources of capital and of young men and women and go home. And then they go back to where they are. Many tribal leaders in that part of the world will tell you that the reason they don't have faith in the United States and the reason they didn't have faith in the Soviet Union is because we don't commit. And where we look at it as a conflict of, we think 10 years is a long time. To them, it's a generational thing. And I'll recall a story, you know, even in Iraq, of sitting down with a tribal leader, and he says, in order to win this, your grandchildren will have to fight my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And that's...
and, you know, and Americans that, go, oh, my God, that can't do that.
Right, right. And, you know, and that's why a lot of the parts of the world don't trust us, because... Right. You know, we love our campaigns. We love waving our flags, and then we get tired and we move on because we're, and then we go to the next thing. You know, everyone loves headlines.
And I think, Don, maybe you would push back on this, but I think one of the problems we've had in my lifetime is that America gets us into these conflicts, and then we don't go to the wall on it. It's a halfway initiative, which I don't mean to insult the people who lost family members in these conflicts. It's not their fault that the politicians don't have the guts to do the awful things that it takes to win a war. But I mean, to me, if you're going to go get involved in the Middle East, the people in Baghdad should be wearing three-piece suits with top hats and monocles right now, instead of still running around looking like the third world culture, which enslaved them anyway. I mean, I know that's awful. There are a lot of people who would absolutely be appalled that I would say something like that, but I'm not willing to spend trillions of our money, trillions of dollars, and thousands of American lives, and then still let the same stuff happen after that investment and that sacrifice.
Well, you know, one of the things that we have lost, and this has been in the last half century, is... we've lost the notion to go in hard, go in fast, and finish the job. We've gone from being a war-fighting nation to what we think is a police nation. And I think
good
a lot
way
of it
to
goes
put
back,
it.
Yeah. You know, if you look back in the late 1960s, that's when you start to see this transition, because that's when we first start putting real-time media embedded into the troops, into the front lines. And when you start showing soldiers and coming home, that doesn't play well. And people don't want to see the atrocities of war on their social media, on their network.
They want to see
and
the victory so, celebration, and that's it.
Correct, correct. Yeah. And so, and you know, war lest be, you know, a horrible thing. And it's why we don't want to do it. But you've got to, they can't last forever. You know, we have the technology. We have the ability to go in and finish. And we're, you know, because of the political implications globally, not just the United States, a lot of people have forgot what it means to finish the job.
Yeah. I think it's a conversation that is worthy of the time and the effort and the kind of the ugliness and it's uncomfortable, but I mean, we got to get into the real world here and stop pretending that we're somehow bringing peace to the world by waging war.
Our enemies
get
are not
war,
afraid.
Let's go kick their butts and win it and have nobody question who the dominant force is. I don't know. We could argue that about Donald Trump all day. Hey, Don.
I don't know that we'd argue it. We would probably sit and agree for most of the conversation.
For most of it, yeah.
And
hey,
then
Don Bramer with the Bramer Group up in D.C., my old friend from my Senate days up there. I always appreciate the chance to talk to you, and hopefully I'll see you again in person sometime soon.
I hope so soon, and I hope you and your family have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Don. I really appreciate it. You too.